You can open your Bibles, I guess, to John 4 is where I believe we'll land in our first scriptures, but I'm still a little bit overwhelmed by the vivid picture of the marriage of the Lamb of God that we have seen over and over throughout the Word of God, but especially in that precious tabernacle of David. And, you know, seeing that as we, the Lord wrapped that up for us, that triumphant entry of that ark, as the Levites, the priests, brought that ark in to the king. And my heart just lifted with such rejoicing, thinking how someday, praise God, the friends of the bridegroom, the worthies of faith, the cloud, shall usher in, praise God, that glory, his bride, to him, the king. And I tell you, God just wasn't through with me. And so it was sweet because the Lord had a couple sweet sisters, they always do, and brothers as well, but I'll tell you, he uses them sisters in a mighty way. But they reached out and sent me some different things of after hearing about that sweet tabernacle of David, those studies, and sent me some encouragements about the Galilean wedding, the Galilean wedding. And I thank the Lord that we've spoken about, you know, the ancient Hebrew wedding. I know our precious sister Tammy Ireland has come in and given us so much precious truth in the metaphor and the type that you see in so much of the Jewish tradition. The reason God did that, that was his people. And I thank the Lord as he shown that all of that was completed and finished in his son. And so it's all there, and that's why we only worship one. We don't have these events. We don't keep days. We don't need to do any of that because our Jesus is all in all. But that encouragement, I'll tell you what, of the Galilean wedding, it just reveals so much of the bridal things that the Lord has shown us through the years, and especially through this tabernacle of David study. So we're just going to get right into it tonight. And this Galilean wedding, so this is what I want you to understand about Galilean, Galilee, Jesus of Galilee, not Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Bethlehem, all of those things right there. But Galilee and the Galilean wedding was the ceremony that they had for a wedding at the time of Jesus. And the Galilean wedding begins just like that ancient Hebrew wedding, and the courtship, I should say. It begins with marriage. Marriage is the first thing, and it really is. So many think somehow, some way that there's going to be a wedding in heaven. The Word of God doesn't speak of a wedding in heaven. It does say the marriage of the Lamb has come. But if we've studied that together, we have, we understand that speaking of a marriage supper, there's a feast that'll come. The marriage, by the grace of God, happens now. What's later will be the feast. In the Galilean times, the couple, the betrothed couple, would be married first. But their life together had not yet begun. We've spoken of that many times about the ancient Hebrew wedding. That they would be married, the contract would be signed. Then, again, they would go and the man would go to prepare that place, just as we rejoice with our precious Lord preparing that place for us. But it all begins with the marriage. We know the Lord is preparing for us a place. And we have said, I do, by the grace of God, haven't we? Amen, we have. If you've received Paul's gospel, you've said, I do. And so in that, what we wait for is we're waiting for the rapture. And I thank God it's not a if, it's just a when. He said, He that shall come will come and will not tarry. So we see these things in the Word of God, and yet God is so faithful. He shows this even in culture of the people, praise God, that are His chosen people. And yes, it all begins with the father. Think of this. The father of the bridegroom at the Galilean wedding would go to the city gates and he would read aloud the proposal. Let me tell you something. The father of the bridegroom has come to the city gates and he has read aloud the proposal. Amen, he has. And we're without excuse. As it says about Paul's gospel, it's been preached to every creature under heaven. It's there for all. He's not a respecter of person. And I thank God that it is so profound and boldly stated. But here it is. When that father would go to those city gates and speak that, it was in the presence of both families, a written proposal for marriage. So even though all heard it, there was only one family that would step forward. There was only one that would be offered for that man, and it would be that woman. How beautiful that is to us. Just as the bride for Isaac was sought out of the family of God, amen? Remember how the Lord said, Abraham said, he said, I'll tell you what, you know, we're living around on all these ungodlies. My son ain't going to have a wife from around here. I'm going to send my servant back to my family. And out of my family, there's one that's prepared. And here you go, servant. You've got all my goods in your hand. And go give it to her. Go lay it on her. And praise the Lord, that's what the Holy Ghost has done with us. Amen. And I thank God he's done that with Paul's gospel. We got it all. And this proposal, praise the Lord, we know is being heard right now by saints that desire to hear. See, that Shulamite and that story in Song of Solomon showed us. All those that are willing to hear. The Shulamite had a little sister, but she was too young to hear. She heard things, she thought she knew things, but she was too little. It didn't really have any meaning to her. Then the Shulamite, you could say, had some friends or acquaintances. They were called the Daughters of Jerusalem. They were sweet, in a sense. A lot of different attributes that were, you would say, that were commending. But yet, when it came to a first love, they didn't want it. They were even encouraging her, oh, there's other loves that you could have in your life. Can you understand that is the day we live in? Do you face that with sometimes your family? I'm talking about the family of God. Oh, you're just too much into the things of God. You're believing too much. You could never believe too much. Amen. You could never be too far immersed in grace. And all I could encourage myself for you, just get out there further. It just kind of separates you more, sanctifies you unto Him. Them that really are rewarded, praise be to God. But there's something about that Shulamite, that goodly pearl. She's got a heart that wants to hear it. That's why you're here tonight, by the grace of God. Do you know that? And it is only by the grace of God. He's given you a heart to hear this. You have a heart, praise God, that wants to receive this. You don't come here, you're not going to get a human reward. You're not going to get a placard. We're not going to go put your name in some type of list. You're here because you're in love. And the Lord drew your heart. And this precious Shulamite, the goodly pearl, has that kind of heart. And the bride will come out of the family of God. And the father of the groom, chooses the bride for his son. Isn't that amazing? That the father of the groom chooses that wonderful woman for his son. Now, that's a little bit different in this, isn't it? Because in the ancient Hebrew, it was the woman. But yet in this case, isn't this something? It's that father that chooses her for his son. You're right there in John 4, aren't you? Let's talk about the father choosing the one for his son. In verse 23, but the hour cometh. And brothers and sisters, we're in that hour. Amen. It's the church age hour. And this, I'll tell you what, this hour, this time shall be no more. And it could be tonight. Amen, amen, it could. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Father seeks that out. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? See, it's going to be revealed to him, and he knows. And I thank the Lord that we have that story of Abraham. The servant even said, well, what if I don't find her? Father knew, you're going to find her. I'm sending you right where she's going to be. Matter of fact, you've got a specific purposed moment, an appointment, right at a well, and you're going to meet this sweetheart named Rebecca. And she's going to be out there, and she's the one. And praise be to God, that's how the Word of God is done with each and every one of us. Hallelujah. It's that specific, it's that precise. In studying about this, this is what was very sweet to my heart, and I mentioned it on Sunday. You'll hear oftentimes, you just think that you've got it all. And well, I know I got it all, but that all's for you too. But, you know, it's like, well, you have it, nobody else does. It's there for you too, but I'll tell you what, we've got it because we go after what the Lord has said in the fullness of it. It's the whole counsel. Paul said, I withheld nothing from you. If you want Paul's gospel, you will go after that gospel that nothing is withheld. Amen. So, in preparing and just kind of thinking about all these things God put on my heart, think about the 12 disciples that the Lord had called for his disciples. He didn't have to go way over here to this country and that country and all over here. He had every single one of them right where they needed to be. Bam. Amen. And he took them right from there. He had prepared them. He called them. He chose them. All of those different things, you see. And he's done that with us. And praise be to God. This is, again, why you're here. There's no accident. There's no coincidence. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is the message that's going to have you ready to meet the Lord in the air at his first appearing. It was just like the message that was given to those at the time of Christ's birth. They knew it was there. But the ones that believed it and gathered and were drawn to it, they were the ones that were gathered there and drawn to it to see the appearing of the Lord as a baby. Amen. There were as many that talked about it, knew about it, thought, yeah, it's probably going to happen, but they didn't love it. So that wasn't their part. Amen. Amen. But that's the way it always is with God. God knew about Noah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he just does. Enoch, that's my guy. Yeah. He got a heart for me. He's going to walk with me 800 years almost or whatever it was, and you talk about being patient. It was the word of his patience. And just believing God and going on with him. So here it is. We see that the Father seeks the true worshiper. It is the Father that chooses her. I believe the Lord said he loved us first, did he not? Is he the one that calls? Is he the one that chooses? Is he the one with the foreknowledge? Amen, he is. Understand it. Praise be to God, and I'll tell you what, you'll have a lot more rest and peace. And you won't be lazy. When it really hits you, you'll be thankful. There'll be passion. Passion ain't lazy. Passion goes after what it loves. And I thank God that God's put a passion in us. Now, going on here, the father of the bride. If the father of the bride now would find that agreement acceptable, he would accept it. Now for us, it's got to be the grace of God with us. Amen? It has to be the grace of God that's with us. I can't take anything from the Lord but for the grace of God that's with me. Amen. I can't have faith to believe without the grace of God. You understand that? That's why, praise the Lord, I understand that the father of the bride had to find it acceptable to accept that proposal. I understand by the grace of God, it still wasn't me. As Paul said, it was the grace of God that is with me. That's how confident I am in the grace of God. That's how dependent by the grace of God we are on the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Go back and listen to Sunday. I believe it'll do you good. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can shed the love of God abroad in our hearts so much to enlighten the eyes of our understanding to see the value of wedlock divine with Jesus. That this truly is the message that I, and the only message I want to hear. As Paul profoundly said, preach no other gospel. And what he was saying in that, there is no other gospel. There's winds of doctrine, but there is only one truth. And I thank God how exact, precise, and we do not have to wonder about it if you want the word of God. And afterwards, here it goes, the groom's father, if it would be acceptable by the bride's family or her father, the groom's father would give the bride's father the dowry. And that dowry was usually a ring, a very, very valuable ring. And it was very sweet because, as the Lord touched my heart, that ring for that marriage, praise God, long time ago he touched me with it. We know it's a crown. Revelation 3:11, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Praise God. He gave you this message, didn't he? All you need to do is cherish it. And really thinking about, this is the I am that I am. He wants to marry you. He wants to rule and reign jointly together with you. He wants you to be glorified together with him. Do you think you'd like to hold this fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown? That's why we need to be encouraged in this word all the time. Amen? Amen. Because without the encouragement and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it becomes just words. Sometimes it's just, well, it's almost too good to be true. It's kind of like a fantasy. No, it's reality. This isn't a fantasy. This is reality. This is the faith, praise God, that not is waiting to be made sight. This is faith that has substance and evidence of the things that aren't seen, felt. But I hear him. And oh, I'm telling you, as Job said, and mine eyes have seen it. The eyes of my understanding by the Holy Ghost, I see it. Praise God. I'm telling you, oftentimes, by the grace of God, I don't know if I get flashes in the throne room or whatever it is in here, but I thank God it's marvelous. I don't need that, but I thank God it's real. You have to understand where we go in Jesus' name. But Revelation 3:11 says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That wedding ring has been given. How do we know this? In so many different ways, but turn on over to Revelation 19, verse 7. And what does it say there? It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Remember, it's to him. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Again, that's the marriage feast defined as. That means, and here's how it's explained so directly. And his wife hath made herself ready. So I'm going to ask you, does a wife make herself ready for a wedding? Wouldn't be stated correctly, would it? Wife's already married. She's coming to the feast. Praise the Lord. As you read on, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, I love that. Keep reading on that. We go on to a different study. But there you go. We thank God that she's a readied wife. She's married. Now, we've come to the point of this beginning here. This is just as the ancient Hebrew marriage, but here is where it gets a little bit different, and I believe a little bit more exciting. In the Galilean wedding, even though the ring, or the crown, in a sense to us, has been given, The betrothal is not complete. There is one key moment. There's a key moment of this wedding ceremony that is has to be completed, or the wedding's not going to be complete. It's the next step. It requires that the groom pour a cup of wine. It's his wine. And with both hands, he takes this cup of wine and he hands it to his wife to be. All right? Now, this is the most profound moment, okay? With both his hands. Reminds me again of Abraham's servant. All the goods of the master were in his hands that he handed to her. It was all there. Everything was there. But the bride has to accept it in the same way. He has drunk from it. The betrothal requires her to drink from it. She holds it up. If she doesn't drink and sets it down, there's no marriage. But if she'll take it to her lips with both her hands and drink, it's called the cup of joy. Now you think about the joy of the Lord is our strength. It was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. That joy, praise be to God, we understand is suffering together with him. Amen. See, there's more than just knowing about marriage. There's even more than just accepting the crown. There's a choice to suffer. Amen. And if she will choose to suffer, to us, it's the bridal message alone. It's abiding and continuing in first love. It's keeping the word of his patience. It's the words that Rebecca spoke, I will go. She chose to be separated and go out unto him out from among the camp. And only first love would do that. And that's what's so beautiful about that story in Genesis 24 about her. She did not know Isaac. She had never seen him. She didn't know what he was like in any way, shape, or form, except for what the servant of Abraham expressed to her at the well. And it was in such a short amount of time, wasn't it? But you know what? We don't have a lot of time. And oftentimes some people will come in here only one time and hear this message. And I'll tell you what, that best be the time you make the move. Just like Rebecca did. She heard it that quickly. But God had opened her heart so to receive it that she perceived this is more than wonderful. And praise the Lord, as the family even encouraged her. And that was a good thing, a good thing. But we're talking about a perfect thing. See, there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So after she had received that proposal, what was the next thing that happened? Her family was excited. They were happy for her, but they wanted her to stay with them for just a little bit. Honey, we need to enjoy you. The Holy Ghost, that servant said, no, we have to move now. Will you go? I will go. And that's what's required. Praise be to God. You just make the move. And how wonderful that is. Because in that love, which is first love that takes you out from among the camp, what happens as you go is you remain that chaste virgin in faith to Christ. Some people get so confused with that. Chaste virgin. Going to lock themselves up in a room and do all these wonderful works now. And just got them right off the camel train on that one. It's faith. It's faith in what? In his grace. It was his grace that came and brought this message to me, just like the same grace that saved me. And it's the same grace that hooked me up to that camel train with the Holy Ghost that's ministering to my heart. And it's the same grace that's going to take me all the way into the arms of the bridegroom. And I'm locked into that grace. I'm assured and I'm standing in that grace, praise God, that I'm confident in his faithfulness, that he chose me. He chose me. He chose you. And that's when you fall in love with him, because you fall in love with his choice. Praise be to God. You can run around by the grace of God and understand in his grace. Sister loves it. It's me. I'm it. Amen. Praise be to God. You ever won anything before? Gone a raffle? As small as it was, and you won. You didn't think you were going to win, but you won. You won. If you just take it. If you just take it. Praise God. That's the confidence in grace. I understand. The Apostle Paul told me real clearly what the Lord revealed to him. It's always going to be a struggle. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. It's not that I just follow after that, but I understand this. I understand there's a battle. But I understand, praise be to God, I'm brand new. I understand what this flesh does, can do, go for, all that stuff. But I understand the perfect work of God, that it was in that choosing. And only by that wonderful, wonderful life, his life that would enter into this flesh. That the beauty of what God desires and pleases God could be fostered. Faith. If you're real with yourself, you know you're not good. If you're real with yourself, you know you don't choose God. He chose you. You'll sit down and you'll look into that glass, into him, and then you start to see him in you and what he's done. Something about that love that changes you. Because that's glory. That's the glory. So, here it is. She's willing to suffer. She's willing to remain that chaste virgin in faith. She loves that message. The crown of first love he's given, nothing can compare. She wants that communion and she wants that fellowship. And if you want that, you know what happens? Philippians 3:10. You're going to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. You don't have to go out there and try to find it. You just believe this wondrous word and you stand in it, it's going to find you. And it will. God will lift up that hedge. He's going to show himself faithful in you. He is going to prove, praise God, his love in you, that you do love him. It's a beautiful thing. I thank the Lord that I love Jesus. I know I love him. I mean, I'm crazy about him. And the reason I know I'm crazy about him is because he's crazy about me. I see it. I know it. I hear him tell me all the time. 1 Peter 4:13, turn on over there. How marvelous it gets. Little bits here and there, but they're all over the place. In 1 Peter 4:13, it says, rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers. You have fellowship. It's a joy, amen, of Christ's suffering. It's the gifts of due benevolence, the gifts of a bride to a bridegroom, a groom to a husband to a wife. He's given you that because he's counted you worthy to suffer with him. You're his wife. He's brought you into that communion and fellowship. You drink of that cup. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a precious cup. And when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So you're already rejoicing, but then you're going to be glad with exceeding joy. Because that glory is going to be revealed. And where is it? In you. In you. How wonderful God gives us these encouragements. But we see this. Even in the second verse of the Song of Solomon, we also love. What is the second verse? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It starts out that way. It's a love affair. He's going right after you. You're going to be still and let him kiss you. And those kisses, what is it? It's the equipping for warfare. Warfare. that you can fight a good fight of faith. Be triumphant, praise be to God. Because you need that faith to be that overcomer, just like all the overcomers in Hebrews 11. They saw a promise. They understood within their flesh there was no way they were going to get it. But they believed God, and it was counted unto them for righteousness, just like Abraham. And I want to grow wise in that. I want to grow up in the righteousness that God has made me. Praise God. Amen. Just believe in the promises of God. So simple. Now, the tradition said that her drinking that cup would lead to a life of joy and motherhood. I'll have to say this, the bride is mighty fruitful. I'm with some very fruitful brethren. Praise the Lord. He does. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait to be fruitful. He makes it now. She's an endless bounty to him. But if she declines the cup, back in tradition, it would say she would even be childless, alone, and in despair. And how true it is when we reject the bridal truth, the leanness that comes into a soul. It just hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. From time to time, different brethren will reach out to me. I know that knew the truth, had the truth revealed to them. And yet, you get away from it, you just forget it. It's a tragedy. And God will send leanness to your soul. It's always amazing to me, though. Oftentimes, where ones will reach out to, they'll go back to the well of grace, not a well of faith. I'll just say well of grace. Ones that'll be sincere will seek out those ones that went after grace. I want you to pray for me. I want you to go visit so-and-so. Sometimes it's a hard one to get, but God, I'll tell you what, he'll give you love. Because but for the grace of God, you go right there. Amen. So remember it. But see, brothers and sisters, we must suffer together with him to reign with him. If we deny him the right that we suffer with him, he denies us the right to reign. And that's the truth. So, drinking from the cup is the single most important choice we'll ever make in our lives, and to continue to drink from it. See, it's not just knowing that truth. It's going in that truth. It is. It becomes a first love. It's everything about your life. Drinking from that wedding goblet brings eternal joy, whereas declining that cup, I believe the word of God tells us there'll be a tear that'll be need to drop, be wiped from your eye. Now, as she holds that cup, this is such a beautiful thought as well too. She has complete control over the betrothment process. It's all been given to her at that moment. It's all hers. All she has to do is to be willing to drink in order for the wedding to be complete. The bride must drink from the cup of wine that was given to her from her groom. And if she drinks, the marriage proceeds. And if she declines, there'll be no marriage. Praise be to God to drink. Praise be to God to say, I will go. It's so real, isn't it? Thank the Lord. Why are these things this way? Because he loves us. All these little things that he brings in life and type and shadow, God help us to pay attention because it is monumental. The aspect of the marriage process is unique in the Galilean wedding, unlike any other Bible time, whether it was in the old Jewish ancient wedding tradition or any of the Middle Eastern traditions. This Galilean one gave the bride the absolute and final choice to access or reject the marriage covenant. You'll never be able to blame anybody else. You can never blame him. He wants you. He's given you that cup, and all he wants you to do is say, I do. That's it. Isn't that marvelous? Even in that, it never was like that except in this particular instance, in this wedding. She had it all right there. Just like was given to Rebecca at that moment. Will you go? It's that profound. And that easy. I've got the Holy Spirit. I already know I've listened. He's given me everything, all the goods of the Father in his hands he's given to me. You heard it just like Esther. Honey, what's mine is yours. It's ours. Now, will you go? He didn't say do something, go out and build something, do whatever. He didn't want you to sit on a camel and listen to him all the way on that journey and keep sitting on that camel all the way listening to him on that journey, and it's going to end up in one place. It'll never go any other place, but it'll end up in the place that you light off the camel into the arms of your bridegroom. It's incredible. And that is the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. It's the simplicity of it all. Now, praise be to God, she drinks of that cup and bam, the marriage covenant is sealed. And when that covenant was sealed, the groom, listen to this, and we're closing this up here. I believe we'll have three studies because it gets better and better. You wait till she's brought in for the marriage feast. It's going to blow you away. All the detail in that, it's incredible, I'll assure you. But when that covenant was sealed, the groom would publicly pronounce these words each and every time they would say this. You are now consecrated to me by the laws of Moses, and I will not drink from the cup again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's house. Oh, I love that. And so you understand this. You know, our precious Savior, he's gone, praise God, to his Father's house. And he's preparing a place. And I was thinking how sweet that is. It was just like old Solomon. Solomon built a temple. It was his Father's house. But then Solomon built his own house. Right there, and a porch that connected them both. But in Solomon's house, you know what that was for? That was for he and his wife. I'll give you a little taste too of next week. That son would go home and build that place in his Father's house. It was either a room or a house that was adjoined to it. And it wasn't the son that would come back to the father and say, it's ready. It was all at the father's determination. I think it's ready, son. Go get your wife. It's just too much. But after the groom says these words, it's done. And both families drink the wine and break the bread and celebrate. And then both the families go to their respective homes. The bride goes to hers. The groom goes to his. The groom goes to his father's home. The bride goes to her father's home. While they are betrothed, they're married. Their marriage is official. But their married life has not begun yet. Well, let's end reading Matthew 26, 26. I love this. Jesus telling his disciples, oh, what a supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And praise God. Song Solomon 7:9. Once they're married and he's got her, He says, her kisses are like the best wine. Not too much longer. It's going to be. I pray that's encouraged your heart. Sure has mine. I'm grateful to God. He loves us. I believe we'll see some more in each of these little studies we'll do. And I pray it just gets our heart to beat a little bit faster for him, because I'll tell you what, his heart's beating awful fast. He loves you so. Well, let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.